This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenna Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Christy Landwehr from Aurora, Colorado. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for this Tuesday, April 18th, episode 1679. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association. Good morning, Horse World.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ability equals skill plus knowledge.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Here's a safety tip for you from the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Missed it by that much.
How can I change this to make it better the next time?
Help you, I can. Yes.
Time for Training Tuesday on Horses in the Morning with the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning. We're glad you're here. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. And we're so glad that you're back. You know, I was doing some reports over the weekend, which you got to see. I was doing some reports over the weekend and discovered that we've been doing this show a long time together.
It's like, which is good.
January of 2014.
Isn't that crazy? It's already been 3 years.
I know. Wow. And I said, I think we said, oh, let's do it for 6 months.
Yeah, let's just check it out, see how it goes.
You know, that happens across the board, because I said to Reese, the host of the Dressage Radio Show, when we lost our last host, I just needed somebody to fill in, and she was a friend, and I said, Reese, do it for 3 months. It's been 4 years. She's still here.
Oh,
too,
that's so awesome.
See,
love
I
it.
Just I suck you people in. I just suck you, you in, get you here,
you
and then don't
no.
let you go.
No, we can't say no. We have too much fun.
So thank you for doing it for 3 years now. Appreciate it. And I wanted to say that we're really excited. I was just checking out the calendar. We have a lot of travel things this year. And then I saw yours pop up. We're going to Lexington what's the dates again?
Going to be October 26th through 28th.
We'll be in Lexington, Kentucky for your 50th big party.
Big golden year anniversary.
That's right. And so is everything going to be gold?
Lots of gold. And you know what's so great? Our corporate colors just happen to be blue and gold. So it's just very appropriate.
And what do we have planned? Is there all kinds of cool stuff?
Oh, so much fun. So we're going to have on the very first night, a big reception at the Kentucky Horse Park Museum, they're going to set up appetizers and beverages all along the museum route. So it makes you through the whole thing. So fun. And then we're having on Friday night is kind of dinner on your own, and people can do stuff on their own. And then they're going to come back, and we're going to do a big dessert round table. So you get to go to different round tables and talk on different topics. And every round table has a certain dessert, and you can only have the dessert at that round table. So that'll be fun.
That's a good idea. You know, we've done the round table. They do that at the one podcasting conference, and it's you get to meet so many people, but they don't have desserts.
Have to do dessert, especially Kentucky bourbon pie.
Oh, that sounds good.
The Derby pie is so good. So good.
So, all right. So that's good. So far we've eaten and eaten.
That's right. That's pretty much what we do. We eat and we educate. It's the E&E convention. Eat and educate.
Can you talk about any of the people you have coming? The educators?
Yeah, we have a lot of really good people from kind of all over. You know, Julie Goodnight, we love her. Yep. She's certified with us and has been a big part.
Guest. Yeah.
So, yes. So she'll, of course, be there. And then we have, lots of good people talking about everything from Tai Chi. As a matter of fact, we have Jenny coming on here in just a little bit to talk about that topic. But just a variety of different veterinarians and equine dentists and farriers and instructors. And it's called Western Dressage, Regular Dressage, Hunter Jumper, Horsemanship, Reining, you name it. It's going to be there.
And we're going to do a live show from there, aren't we?
Yes, very excited about that.
Oh, that'll be, we're doing so many cool live shows this year from places. But let's find out what's going on this live show from Jennifer, and then we'll talk more about everything that's happening.
Coming up on today's CHA-fueled equine adventure, camp season is right around the corner, so we've got a trio of guests to help us sort the poison ivy from the Virginia creeper of horse camps. So first up, we've got Jenny Pym, and she is going to get our horse camp karma in order by introducing us to equestrian Tai Chi. Yes, it's a thing. And then next up, Susan Berger has some pointers for choosing camp for your kids. And then Jenny Al-Adra tells us about Pioneer Ranch Camp in Canada. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right, very good. And, you know, I saw in your notes that the CHA has been, speaking of going places this year, one of the places we're going is the American Horse Publications Conference, which this year, which is all the journalists and magazines and things in the horse world. We went last year for the first time. This year, they're having it in Scottsdale, not too far from where Jamie lives. So we're going to do a live show for the first time, a live show ever from AHP. And it's their first time ever having a live show from AHP. And Jamie's going to come over and you're going to be there. But the CHA is up for a big award.
It's very exciting. So we were nominated for their Equine Vision Award. And the Equine Vision Award is sponsored by Zoetis and has been basically going on now for over a decade. And they've honored some amazing people and some amazing associations within the equine industry. And there was 18 nominated this year and CHA's in the top four. So we'll find out in June how we did. Very exciting.
Wow. Now, they'll announce that at the awards dinner, right?
Yes, we will not know. No, it's actually, I think, Friday morning at the breakfast, so we won't know until then.
Right.
So it's a surprise.
That's right. And we're going to be doing our show live on Friday morning, so we'll know by the time we do our show. So that'll be great.
That'll be very exciting. So we're hoping. But you know what? Even if we did make top four, we're pretty excited because there's normally some amazing nominees. But, you know, if we win, well, hey, all the better.
Wow, that's terrific. And there have been some amazing winners over the years, too. Congratulations.
Very excited. The member that sent it in, we didn't really know. And then she got these amazing letters from some of the past Equine Vision Award winners and some amazing letters of reference. It was like, wow, that was really impressive.
Well, you know, you guys deserve it. Our mission statement at Horse Radio Network's uniting the horse world one show at a time. But yet you guys are better. You guys are really bettering the horse world by bettering those who teach. And there's nothing better than that. You know, that's where it starts, right? Is those who teach.
Well, that's what they say, you know? I mean, even David O'Connor had his very first ride on his very first horse, right? We all have had that first ride and that first experience. And if it goes south, well, then you probably are going to go do something else.
Which really ties into your topic today, which is talking about going to camp. Now, Jennifer, you did horsey camps, right?
I did horsey camp, I think two years. The first year I ever did horsey camp, Pony Club had come to our area for the first time, the United States Pony Club, and there was a local one. And my mom was so desperate to get rid of me and get her out of her hair and let me go play horsey and not bother her that she got me the entire summer. I was there every single week for the entire summer. I just never went home.
She did really want to get you out of the house.
It's funny. She packed me up with my two horses in a sleeping bag and didn't see me again till fall.
And you were okay with that, weren't you?
I was absolutely fine with that.
That's funny.
Are you kidding? Play pony all day, every day for weeks on end.
Exactly.
And it really was a pony camp. We didn't do anything but horses. And that was it. There was no crafts. There was no canoeing. It was horses the whole
time.
That's
every horse girl's dream right there. That's every horse girl's dream. So now, did you go to camp?
But there was also a lot of stall cleaning. So, yeah.
Well, that's good too, though, right? You have to have both sides.
Yeah.
Did you go, Christy?
You know, I did. My very first experience ever with a horse was Girl Scout camp.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of those week-long camps where you only rode just for the 1 hour on that one day. And that was the only day and hour I really cared about for all of camp. And I came home and I went, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, I need a pony, 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 pony. Then it was constant, 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 constant until they finally gave in and gave me one.
and drove him crazy.
Even the explanation is irritating.
Wow. Exactly.
That's funny.
I got really good at nobody had to get my way.
And they, wait, after you came home, they went, why'd we ever send her there? What the
That's
heck?
That's exactly
taking her out of Girl Scouts. That group is corrupting our daughter.
First of all, we have to sell all these darn cookies, and now this.
That's funny. I didn't go to horsey camp. I went to church camp when I was about 11, and my experience was not as good as Jennifer's. I didn't know how. I was a wimpy little kid. I wasn't really good at sports at the age of 11. I got better at it in high school, but wasn't really good at sports. I didn't know how to swim, and a lot of the activities were swimming related. So it was kind of one of those camps where I remember a lot of detail. I don't remember much from when I was that age, but I remember a lot of details of that camp. And I think I was traumatized. I wonder how many people have that experience that I do, you know, where camp is not a fond memory for you.
You did not have kumbaya.
No, apparently not. I don't remember any kumbaya. but that could be the situation too, where a lot of times you remember the bad stuff and not the good.
That is true.
So, you know, but so now we had last time we talked about this last year, we kind of cover this topic every year because it is coming up in camp season. And we had somebody from the Girl Scouts on once before, and it is still a big part of their program.
Very much. You know, there's some of the different states that are maybe not doing the horses as much as others. But yes, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts still have most of their camps have a horse program. They do. It's good.
If you had not gone to that camp with those horses, would you be in horses today?
You know what? I don't know. I don't really think so. I grew up in Southern California in the land of, you know, a lot of brick and mortar.
Yeah.
And where we lived was a lot of brick and mortar. So I don't really know. And then I sought it out. Then everywhere we went, I was looking for it, right? Because I knew it was now a passion. So
well, that's
who knows
good,
is the
well,
answer.
That brings up a good question then. The question is, where did you keep your horse? In the land of brick and mortar, your pony.
We actually, well, when I first went to Girl Scout camp, we were in Cerritos, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. And then we moved to Fullerton, which is a suburb of Orange County. And we actually lived by a lake that had a public riding arena. And right above the public riding arena was a boarding stable. And it was about a 5-minute walk, 2-minute bike ride from my house. So I kept my horse right there.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
Yeah, it worked out really well. And it was a self-care. So every day I had to go feed in the morning and feed in the evening. And I was 12 when I got him. So that was a good little experience, too, to be responsible.
I think that every pony should be self-care. Except then most of them would starve to death, probably. All right, take that back. Take that back.
Never mind.
Wait a minute. Your pony's not self-care. Wait a minute.
I do a lot around here. I clean the paddocks. I do a lot to help out with the horses. Well, let's do this. You know, your first guest is very, very interesting, and I have to get her on through Skype here, so it's going to take me a second to get her on. But tell us a little bit about her while we get her on.
I sure will. Well, first of all, what I want to tell you about Jenny Pym is that she's going to be getting Skyped in today all the way from Ireland, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah,
because I know your podcast reaches everywhere. So neat. So she's going to be Skyped in from Ireland, and she is a certified Tai Chi instructor, and she's registered with the Tai Chi Union for Great Britain. Who knew they even had one of those? That's pretty cool. She's been teaching Tai Chi since 2002, and she's the founder and creator of Equestrian Tai Chi, which is a program for training individuals and certifying instructors in Equestrian Tai Chi. So she and her husband and family and ponies, she put in her bio, very important to her, all live in a place called Wexford, Ireland. So when we get her on, we'll have to find out exactly where Wexford is because I'm not quite sure. All I know about is Dublin because I went there once to drink Guinness beer, and that's all I know.
Well, I'm trying to get her in here. So you two chat amongst yourselves.
Speaking of having certain memories.
That was a positive one, not a negative one.
That's, you don't remember anything else about the entire country except for the beer.
I remember some other things, but that tour was really good. It was a good tour. It was very green in Ireland. I had no idea that there was like 25 shades of green until I went there. I was shocked at how much green. Yes. You know, I live in Colorado, the land of dryness and browns, and it was so green there. crazy green.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine that was one of my riding buddies as a kid, her family moved from the Northeast to Northern California and was there for a number of years. And they were in the deserty section of California. And she came back for a visit after about 3 or 4 years. And she came back mid spring. And she said it was just, it was culture shock. It was so green.
Beautiful. Well, what's so neat about this is that Jenny actually came to our conference last year. We had our conference in Nashville and she came all the way from Ireland. She won the furthest away award. She came all the way. She had a booth about equestrian Tai Chi, taught our instructors about it. It was awesome to have her. So we're thrilled now to have her on the show and pursue.
Well, maybe
learning
I'm
about
working
this.
On that part.
Well, that's all right. Ireland is far away. We understand. It takes a while to go through the wires all the way to Ireland. It's across the pond.
Glenn's sending bookstores right now.
Yeah. That's right. Across the pond is across the pond. Across that's far.
Yes, across the pond is across the pond is across the pond. And, you know, well, it's kind of cool that we even get to do that because even 5 or 6 years ago, to do a live broadcast and be able to talk to someone overseas like this, it wouldn't have happened.
No.
You know, we wouldn't be able to do a live broadcast to do that. We would have to record it ahead of time and do it that way. So it's kind of cool that we can get it to work, let's say 90% of the time.
Yes, and I honestly don't know what time it is in Ireland. I guess we'll find that out,
too.
It's
usually about, 5 or 6 hours later than us.
Oh, okay. So she's later.
Yeah, so it's lunchtime there.
So it's not the middle of the
night.
She's
having beer. That's
hey, Jenny, are you there?
No, I can. Can you hear me?
There you go.
You.
Can you hear us now?
Hello. I know I'm not having beer. it's only 2:18 in the afternoon.
Oh,
here.
That's afternoon. You're good.
Yeah. No, I can hear you. Yeah, I could hear you for a little while, but I thought you couldn't hear me, so I didn't say anything. And I was looking for my phone for you to ring me.
Well, you're here now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
All right, Christy.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yay.
Well, Jenny, I'm so happy to have you on. Tell us, though, where is Wexford in relation to Dublin and other places in Ireland?
Well, Wexford is in the southeast of Ireland. It's a lovely sunny spot, the sunny southeast. And I'm very near Rosslare Harbour for the ferry to go to France or to go to Wales. So I'm in a very good spot, really. And I'm also quite near to Dublin, the capital city. It takes about an hour and a half to go to Dublin. So it's a really nice place where I live.
And what is your weather like
Pardon?
There?
Oh, the weather is amazing. We had a lovely
day
this
rain?
Morning. No. It's been amazing. It hasn't rained for 2.5 weeks. And the farmers are all ploughing and doing everything. And this morning we had the Pony Club here doing their road safety test. And it was lovely, really lovely. And all the trailers parked in the field and they didn't get stuck or anything. So, no, the weather is amazing here at the moment. It hasn't rained, I think, for, you know, a long time. Blue skies here.
We were just talking about the Pony Club and said that her very, very first camp experience was at a Pony Club event. And here you are talking about the Pony Club. So we all tie in.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So,
good.
We're so excited to have you on the show today. I was explaining how we met because you came all the way out to Nashville last year to be at our conference.
Yes, yeah.
So I got to learn a little bit about this topic, but I'm so excited for you to share it with our listeners today. So what exactly is equestrian Tai Chi and how did you get started in all this?
Well, I got started really years ago because, first of all, equestrian Tai Chi is Tai Chi that I've developed for performance on horseback. And Tai Chi is actually an internal a Chinese internal martial art that uses our internal energy or qi to generate power. Though nowadays it's mostly practiced for its therapeutic qualities. So I'm a Tai Chi instructor and years ago I was very busy when the boys were younger because I was breeding Connemara ponies and I was minding them and I was also teaching Tai Chi. So to save time, I'd run through planning to teach my next class when I was out in the ponies. And when I practiced on the ponies, I noticed that they'd really relax and enjoy it and they'd lower their heads. And if I practiced Tai Chi in a particular spot on one day when I was out riding, the pony would often stop in the same place on the next day, almost as if he was asking me to practice again. So I really enjoyed it and they loved it too. So then I began to develop, I loved it so much that I began to develop Tai Chi just for performing on horseback. I adapted the movements just for performing on horseback. And then I began to teach equestrian Tai Chi, as I called it, locally. And when I told some of the other riders I know, that I know who live around here, they're very curious and they wanted to come and try it out. And some people were already bringing me their children to learn Tai Chi at my home here. And when they heard what I was doing, they thought it was so much fun. They wanted to learn it too. And some of these children had special needs and learning difficulties. So I saw how it really benefited and helped people and how much they enjoyed it. So I decided to make a system where other people could help people who are drawn to them for help. And over the years, I've been developing the system into what it is today, really.
So explain to us how exactly it works. Like, what are some of the movements and things that somebody would do?
Well, how it works, really, the movements of equestrian Tai Chi, what they do is they tip the energy all through your body as you perform the movements, and they bring it to the places in your body that are important for it to have good health. So they bring it to your heart, to your organs. And thousands of years ago, Taoists mapped the qi flow through energy channels in our body. And the energy moves through these channels, but it also goes to our main energy centers. And it's very good for balancing our blood pressure, and it helps with our blood circulation. And it also helps with our nervous system, because one of the ways that qi runs through the body is through the nerves. So each movement would have healing qualities that would apply to it.
So how do the horses and the riders respond to it? What do you see happens?
Well, the horses actually really enjoy it. I think one of the things it made me realize was that horses, even horses that don't appear to be stressed, seem to be quite stressed because they relax so much. Maybe I'm saying that wrong, but they really, really, really do let go and relax when their riders practice. And it works on people's emotions and their thoughts as well, because Tai Chi works on different levels. It works on a physical level with our body, and then it works on an energetic level. That's the energy that runs through our body, through our energy system. But it also works on the energy of our emotions and thoughts, because these are different layers of our energy bodies. And Tai Chi is a way of combining all these and really bringing our body or our minds into our body and deeply relaxing our emotions and our thoughts. And horses are herd animals, as you know, so they're very sensitive to how everybody around them feels. And when their riders really relax, they feel they can really relax too. And they benefit a lot, you know, from the rider's practice.
So, Jenny, I have a question for you then. Is this something where you practice on the ground next to the horse? Do you practice up on the horse at the halt? Or do you practice actually in all three gates? How does that work?
Oh, yeah, no, that's a brilliant question. I probably should have said something about that. No, this is purely for practicing on the horse, because Tai Chi and equestrianism, they've a lot in common. And there's even a horse stance in Tai Chi. So if you were sitting on a horse and somebody just took your horse away from underneath you, you'd be in the horse stance of Tai Chi. So its movements are really suitable for practicing on horseback. And I do teach people on the ground as well. Some people who really don't want to go on horseback, and I have developed an interactive Tai Chi system for teaching, where they can learn, and we practice beside the horse. But that's for people who really don't want to get on the horse, or they're just not able to for some reason. But mostly it's always practice on the horse.
And can you do it at the walk, trot, and canter? It can be done at all?
We don't really do that, because when the energy moves through your body, I've noticed that horses, they seem to show that they can feel it running through their body as well. And this is something that's quite common in Tai Chi classes. I used to teach members for the Council for the Blind here in Wexford, and if one of them moved their hand up, the other a person standing beside them could feel a flow of energy moving up. And then if they moved it down, they could feel it in their bodies moving down. So I think that horses, can feel this flow of energy that we make in our body, because when we perform the movements, they make the energy move in our body. So, for instance, if we raise our hands upwards out in front of us to shoulder height, energy will move up our legs, it will move up our backs. But I think the horse can follow these movements. And I've noticed when people are practicing the form, because equestrian Tai Chi is a sequence. Movements. It's a sequence of movements that flow from one to the other. And I've noticed horses following their rider's sequence. And say if the rider comes to a bit that they don't know very well, or you know, the energy flow, the thread of energy is lost, the horse will just give up, you know, he won't follow. He'll give up and want to move off or something. But when the rider is performing the movements smoothly, the horse seems to listen. And I really feel the horse can follow this flow in their body as we practice. And I've noticed one of the things that Qi Flow actually does in your body sometimes is it can actually make you feel a little bit itchy. And I was practicing on my pony one day. My husband was actually taking a video of me, and I was practicing this exercise. And suddenly my pony sort of almost dropped from underneath me, and I was going, oh, what's going on? But he was bending down, and he was lifting his front leg and biting underneath his front leg with his arm or with his mouth. So he was feeling itchy. And I think he could feel the increased chi flow because there's an energy junction underneath his front legs. And where his front leg joins his body. And I think he could feel the chi flow there.
Well, and I know people that are listening, some are probably saying, oh my gosh, I want to learn how to do this. Others are probably saying, I might even want to be a teacher in this. So what is involved in learning equestrian Tai Chi? How long does it take? Those types of things.
Well, I have a course for instructors that I developed. It doesn't matter if you've learned Tai Chi before or not. I have some people on the course who have done Tai Chi before, but you don't have to have done Tai Chi before to join the course at all. And the movements are very well broken down in the course. They're all video movements, and there's also written instruction. And I give a lot of support when people join the course. And the way that people get feedback is by sending me in videos of their practice. And that's very easy to do. So they can just get their friend or somebody to take a video of them on horseback practicing and with their smartphone and just send it to me. And then I make a video of their practice and give them positive feedback. I'm always very encouraging and positive. And it takes about 6 months to qualify as a certified instructor. And it really takes this amount of time for the instructor to develop, you know, their energy and to learn all the movements and to become confident. But it's actually a teacher training course, so they can begin teaching, you know, before they're actually qualified to practice on their friends and people they know. And I also provide them with a set of lesson plans for 3 months. So they get lesson plans, weekly lesson plans for the first 3 months to get them started teaching until they know enough to make up their own lesson plans.
Hey, Jenny.
And these lesson plans are about, yes?
I was just going to say, you know, I think that we've seen this, especially in the workout centers and, you know, places where people go to work out. Classes have really become a thing to draw people in more than just going and lifting weights. So I've also seen that. I don't know what you think, Christy. I've also seen that around the horse world. Instead of just giving individual private lessons, now people are doing classes and different things. So this is a perfect opportunity for people, for barn owners, to draw groups of people into classes to actually bring them out to the barn. It gets people out who may not be coming out as often as they should or want to. It gives them an excuse to come out. It's just another reason to come out to the barn, and it's something a little different.
Absolutely, Len. I mean, that's a brilliant idea, and it's such a fun thing to do. And actually, when there's a group of horses together, not a huge group, maybe six or eight, they all really relax together. It's almost like a meditation class where everybody, you know, can meditate better in a meditation class. If there's a group of people together, the horses really relax.
It's the opposite of spin class at the gym. Yeah, opposite.
Yeah,
of it. Yes,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jenny, how do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about all of this?
Well, if they can contact me either through Facebook, my page is equestriantaichi.com, or if they go to my website, equestriantaichi.com, there's a contact tab on the top bar. And if they just send me a message when they click the contact tab, I'll get back to them right away and let them know when the next course, or I'll answer any of their questions. If they want to know anything, I can send them some information. And if they want to know when the next course is opening, I can tell them that.
And it doesn't matter where they are in the world?
No, it doesn't. I have people training who are in Australia, Canada, America, the UK. Where else? I think I have some in New Zealand as well, actually. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, because it's all done through video and through the online course. And, it's very easy to do that.
That's what I think is so amazing about modern technology. Is here you are in Ireland, yet you can help people all over the world.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jenny, it's equestriantaichi.com is the website.
That's it.
I want to ask you before we let you go a little bit about, are you in a very horsey area in Ireland? Is this a horsey area?
Yes, it is. I'm in a very horsey area. Wexford is one of the big counties. If you look up horses for sale on any of the websites, a lot of them will come from Wexford. We have a lot of hunts here. There's three pony clubs, I think, in our county. There's lots of local shows, but some of them are dying out. Now, some of them aren't, but some of them are. And there's lots of horsey activity here. And we have some local riding centres. Some of them are very big where there's national events. So it's a great place to live, horsey-wise.
And have you gone on some of those crazy hunts?
Well, years ago, I did, actually. But I nowadays, I just would not like to. I just somehow feel I just don't that anymore, but I did. I certainly did hunt years ago.
Well,
yes,
no, you value your body parts.
Out the master.
You value having your body parts not in a cast is why you're not going anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Jenny. EquestrianTaiChi.com.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for being on, Jenny.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right. Yeah,
thank you so much, Chrissy, for having me. Bye. You too. Thank you so much. Bye, Glenn.
Oh, that's fun. You know, those are some crazy hunts over there. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the alcohol being consumed. Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
But that sounds like fun, huh? Combining two disciplines.
I think it'd be amazing. Yes, yeah. I think so too. And I think you're right, Glenn, about that concept of people are getting away a little bit from private lessons and wanting to do more semi-private and group stuff. I think you're right. And this is a great way to get them to come out and do that.
Well, we have our next guest ready. We're going to just dive into heading to Pennsylvania.
Yes. And speaking of group riding lessons, that's what mainly you do at camp. And 'tis the season for all of us parents out there to start picking the summer camp for our children, whether it's going to be a week or the whole summer, like what Jen did or whatever the case may be. So our first guest today on this topic is Susan Berger. And Susan runs Camp Hebron in Halifax, Pennsylvania. Camp Hebron is a CHA accredited site and also an approved host site for us to host clinics. Susan is a CHA clinic instructor and a site visitor for us. But she began her horsemanship adventure doing many other things. She's been part of the Arabian Horse Show world. She's actually trained Arabian racehorses. She helped handle the horses at the Masters Inn, which is a Christian conference center, where she did such things as training the horses and the staff for guided trail rides, rodeo presentations, riding lessons, and the cowboy and Indian dramas right alongside the wagon rides. I thought that was pretty darn cool. She's also managed two boarding stables and has taught many, many lessons in her time. So, Susan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, so glad you could be on today. And what's so neat, Glenn, is that Susan just recently for us was at the Pennsylvania Horse Expo, and she ran a combination Camp Hebron CHA booth. So, Susan, how did that all go?
It went great. I had two hats, and I wear one hat when I was on one side of the booth, and then I'd switch to the other hat on the other side of the booth, and everybody thought that was kind of funny.
That's good.
But it was so neat to see how many people were really interested in CHA, what it was. A lot of people that came through said, I've heard about this. What do you actually do? I had the materials there that CHA had provided, so I was able to show a lot of the materials and the books, and there were so many, like, 4-H groups and just, like, backyard groups, and they were like, wow, these materials are awesome. And, you know, it already has it laid out. You don't even have to reinvent it. So it was great. And it was great for us because our CHA clinic is full with a waiting list. So that's perfect for us.
That's right. It was a win-win, right? Worked out perfect. Well, we're so glad that you were able to do that for us, because I'll tell you, I can only travel to so many places. So it's so nice to have now kind of a speaker's bureau where all of you are doing it all around the country and other places. So much appreciated. So in regards to today's topic, Susan, how long have you been in the camping industry yourself?
Well, most of my adult life, and I've been an adult for a pretty long time. I've been at Camp Hebron specifically. This is my 19th year because my oldest son just turned 20. So that's how I figure that part out. So I've been here for 19 years. That's 19 coming on my 20th summer.
That's a long time. And tell us where exactly Halifax is in Pennsylvania in relation to other cities.
We're about a half an hour north of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is south. It's central Pennsylvania.
Okay, very nice. So what do you think when people are now looking for camps? I know, you know, a lot of people just get on the internet and say camp near them and price and whatever. But as we all well know, that is not the best way to do research on where to do different things, especially to send our children to camp. So what are some important steps you feel that parents should do before choosing a camp, especially one that has a horseback riding program?
Well, that's a great question, because horseback riding is a dangerous sport. I do it, I ride it, I teach it, I've been doing it most of my, like I said, my adult life, but it is a very dangerous sport. And when I speak to Girl Scout troops, one of the questions they have to answer is, what is a professional? And so I go over through, what is a professional? What do you think a professional is? And all the girls always say, well, that's someone that knows what they're doing, or is really good, or has it done a long time. But actually, professional just means that you are paid. And in the United States of America, anyone can go out and buy a horse and buy a saddle and put out a shingle or put out a sign and say riding lessons or summer camp. And if you give them money, you've just turned them into a professional. So if you do that when you're taking piano lessons, the worst case scenario, if you don't pick a good instructor, is you probably won't learn how to play well. It's not like you're going to fall off the piano bench or something like that's going to happen. But with riding lessons, a lot of things can happen if you don't choose a place that is safe and that's run, you know, up to standards.
And so speaking of standards, I know that you guys are CHA accredited, and then there's another group called American Camp Association that also accredits. Do you feel that these things are important?
Yes, because what it does is it makes the facility, it requires the facility to come up to a certain standard, and then you must stay within that standard. And so it holds us to a standard that we need to abide by and follow the rules and continue to come up to industry standards as those change and progress. And so it just kind of holds us to, it makes us accountable for what we're doing. It also validates what we're doing. It shows that, yes, we are doing things as correctly, as safely, as high into the standards as we can.
Yeah, that whole concept of having a third-party entity that doesn't have any skin in the game telling you that you're doing it right, I think it's a great idea. So if they do get as far as wanting to do a site visit, what are some key things that you think the parents should be looking at when they come for their site visit?
I take a lot of phone calls from a lot of parents, typically moms, sometimes dads. And the phone visit as well as the site visit is very important. So they need to decide what they're looking for their child, where their athletic or riding ability is for the child. In this day and age, we can have people call everywhere from their riding and showing to possibly having special needs and maybe needing more attention or more support. And so all of those things need to be considered very carefully, because it's not that we're just like like I said, just taking that money and saying, okay, we have another student, but meeting that student or that camper's specific needs. So some of the questions would be that they should ask themselves before they ask the questions at the camp they're looking at. Are they looking for residential or day camp? What are the facilities in the lodging they're staying in? What type of meals they're going to have? What type of horses they have? Where do the staff come from? Are the staff certified or trained? Is there either an in-house training or a CHA training to show that the staff know what they're doing? Even as we're doing interviews for our summer staff, we have so many people that apply for a Wrangler position because they love horses. But we can't hire people that just love horses or love to clean stalls or love to brush horses. We need to hire people that know what they're doing and are very trainable and are very safe within their thought process, because these campers need, they expect that. They kind of assume that when you go to a facility that the staff is trained and safe.
Well, and Susan, that's one thing that I think you guys do so great there is that you say, all right, you might not already have your CHA certification, but when you come here, we have a clinic where we'll go ahead and train you before you become staff for us. So I think that that's a super model.
Yes, and many of the camps are starting to do that. They will do a CHA clinic in-house in their facility, and some of them run it just through their staff. We don't bring a large staff in, so we also open it up to outside participants, which is a great dynamic because then our people that we're certifying are also working with other people that are going other places. And so you bring a really neat group of people together that are, some are staying, some are going to different places, and what they bring from their horse background, it's a great environment.
I agree. I love that kind of we're all breed, all discipline at those clinics. And so you do have a lot of that kind of back and forth. And I know, you know, quite a few places do the closed clinics, but I think it's great that you make them open for everyone to kind of learn from each other. I think that that's a great idea. So what are some of the different programs that you particularly have there, and why did you choose some of these?
With our summer camp, we are a really unique facility in that we are not just a horse camp. We have a horse program within a Christian conference center. So on the property any given week, there are literally hundreds of youth or adults. If we're doing family camp or children or infants, there's so many different people on the property. And the way our camp runs is we have our specialty camp as a horse camp. They are at the barn in the morning and in the evening for a two-hour block of time. And then in the afternoon, when they're out doing all the other fun activities like swimming and boating and hiking and arts and crafts, that's when the other non-horse camp people can come up to the facility and they do guided trail rides. So we have a very unique herd because we have a herd of horses that needs to be able to meet the needs of the campers and in the lesson scenario. But then in the afternoon, if they happen to work two sessions, they may go out on trail, and then they have to be a guided trail horse, and they have to carry a rider that does not necessarily know what they're doing, and they have to follow, the horse has to follow the rules if the rider does not know how or chooses to try not to. So it's a really neat experience to have just amazing animals that can understand the difference. But our horses also really rely on our staff. They really read from our staff. So when the campers are riding, the campers are riding the horses, but the staff and the presence of the staff is really important to the horses keeping that rider safe.
You know what? I bet the horses like that though, Susan. So in the morning, they're kind of worked through all their different gates and things. And then in the afternoon, they just get to go really slow on a nice little trail ride. It's probably a pretty good day for them.
It is very slow. There's trail ride speed, and then there's slow trail ride speed, and then there's camp horse trail ride speed. And all of our horses learn the camp horse trail ride speed. Our trails are all in the woods. There's bridle paths. So it's really nice because it gets very hot here in the summer. And so the horses are out in the woods, and it's refreshing, and it's cooler, and it's kind of nice for them to have that mental change up.
And Susan, for our listeners
can I just jump in anytime.
Because
I just want to say that I love camp horse speed. That's my favorite speed. Just saying.
It is a great speed.
It is.
And
it's perfect.
You have some horses do not like camp speed. And so you have to choose horses that are going to be good at their job and enjoy their job. That's very important.
So we might have some people listening, Susan, that maybe have their own camp or are thinking about getting a camp together or doing something like that. Can you share with those folks how you do advertise and market?
Yes, we have a very large marketing group that works within the camp setting, because we're promoting all of our camps and all of our programs, because we're a year-round Christian Conference Center. So we do a lot of Facebook, Twitter, there's Snapchat, they send out direct mailings. We do a lot of event planning, and then we promote those. But within the horse program itself, there is a lot less advertising, because our program is already full with a waiting list, even within our riding lessons. So within the riding lesson program specifically, it is more word of mouth and more local, because those people have to be more local to the area. They travel, the most I have travel is an hour to come to a riding lesson. And so that's an hour of travel, an hour of lesson, and an hour back. So that's a pretty big commitment. But as far as the camp as a whole and with the summer camps, we did a lot of promoting at the Horse World Expo. We do e-blasts. We attend educational opportunities. And we also have people that will go out and speak at like church chapels or school groups or homeschoolers, and we'll do presentations there. And then we also are able to promote doing things like radio programs, because I get to promote the camp through here. So there's just some really neat opportunities, and trying to just plug in with your local community, whether it's a 4-H group or Girl Scout troops or a parade or a Halloween thing where you can put out your trick-or-treats with your programming. You can get pretty creative in how you do your promotion. But the main thing I would say is your best promotion is running a good program. Because if you run a good program, then people will know that you run a good program. They will come back, and they will tell other people to come back. So that's the hugest advertising you can do, is to run a quality program.
I think that's absolutely true. We were just talking earlier on the show today about how we remember the negative pretty easily. We don't necessarily remember the positive, and we tend to sometimes share the negative a little bit more readily than the positive. So running a good program is, I think, absolutely key. So I want to ask a question in regards to the people that come to the camp. How many of them are from Pennsylvania versus how many of these parents are bringing their kids in from other states?
I would say the primary amount of people that come here are from somewhere in Pennsylvania or New York. We get West Virginia, we get Maryland, Virginia. But we don't have a lot that come from further away. Now, it's really neat, because some of our staff come from all over the United States. I think it's kind of neat for them. They'll come from Arizona and come out. We've actually had international, and that's kind of a neat niche. We'll bring international staff in, not necessarily just for the horses, but for the camp as a whole. But this particular area, there are so many camps, whether they're larger camps like we are or smaller day camps. This is a pretty big horse area in general within this demographic. And so people were able to kind of pick and choose where they want to go without having to travel very far.
So how can listeners find out, Susan, about your camp and about you, and ask you some more questions later?
That would be great. Our website is camphebron.org, all together, no spaces. They can reach me at susan@camphebron.org. We also have a Facebook page, Camp Hebron, and we have a Facebook page specifically for the barn, and that is Camp Hebron Built the Barn. That was started when we started our fundraising to build our indoor arena a number of years ago. And actually, this Thursday, we're having our 5th annual benefit auction to benefit the barn that we built. So we have our beautiful new facility with our indoor arena, and we have a beautiful outdoor arena, and we are just so blessed. I look at where the old barn was, and I think, how did I do that for so many years? So this is our 3rd year coming into our new barn, and it's just gorgeous, and it's amazing. It's been such a blessing.
I think that is wonderful that you're growing and expanding, and that everything is just going along, and you're being able to add new facility pieces like that new building. And that's a really good news, Susan. So I so appreciate you being on the show today. This is exciting, and it is the time for people to be picking their summer camp. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you so much. You all have a good day, and maybe I'll see you at one of the expos or equine affairs, or catch up with you at the international conference.
And you know,
that'd be awesome.
I got to say, Christy, we grew up in central Pennsylvania, so I know that, well, we've been by the camp a couple times, and it's just a beautiful area. That part of central Pennsylvania is absolutely beautiful. It really is. It's well worth seeing and going to. Well, camp.
Well, if you're in the area, I can give you a trail ride on one of those Camp Horse Speeds. I would love to give you a trail ride.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you taking care of me. Jennifer tries to make it so I don't hurt myself, because then she has to do all the work around here. So she tries to keep me safe. CampHebron.org. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She really does. Every time I do anything, I have to wear my helmet. Because if I can't talk, I kind of don't have a job. So
no, and yeah. She doesn't want to do it all. I don't blame her. That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. A lot of shows. Well, let's take a break for a song. How about a little Katy Drake with Ready for the Ride? And we're going to come back. We have another guest coming up, and we're going to be going to Canada next. So we're just traveling all over the world today. We'll be right back.
Love is always a gamble. Love comes with no guarantee. Once your heart has made your mind up, hope is all you see. I'm not one to hold back. I'm not one to shy away. I'm the type who will blindly follow all love has to say. I'm ready for the ride.
Well, that is Katie Drake. You can find all of her music at katiedrakesongs.com. That's katiedrakesongs.com. She's been a guest on the show a couple of times, and we love her music, so we appreciate her allowing us to play it. Well, we have a lot of things going on today, and talking a little bit about camp and what that's like, and also Tai Chi. When I take a look, I should make a list every week of all the topics we cover on the Horse Radio Network, all the Horse Radio Network shows. It would be a diverse list.
It sure would.
And before we get to our next guest, I did want to mention for all of the listeners from the CHA, we announced here yesterday, and I just got word from the travel agent that the rooms are selling. We announced yesterday the first ever Horse Radio Network Horse Lovers Cruise. And what that is February the 12th. We're going on a 4-night cruise out of Miami with just fellow horse people, listeners, members of the CHA. If you're a person that loves horses and also likes to go on vacation, then we're just going to do a cruise together. It's just a way of getting a whole bunch of crazy horse people on a cruise and having a little fun together. So if you want to check that out, it's horseloverscruise.com. I just heard from the travel agent an email 2 minutes ago who said they booked 10 cabins yesterday on the first day alone. So hopefully we can fill a ship with nothing but horse people and just have a great time going on vacation together. So I did want to mention that. It's horseloverscruise.com. And we'd love to have CHA members join us.
That would be very fun.
And your next guest is ready.
Super. Well, I am thrilled to introduce today Jenielle Aldra, and she is up in Canada, so she's going to have to tell us more about where exactly and how long she's been up there. But she's a part of the Pioneer Camps, and she's a third-generation Pioneer person. Her grandparents were involved many years ago. Her parents met at Pioneer, and her young children are on the cusp of becoming campers. So she's been doing this for a long time. She has over 20 years of wealth of experience as a teacher, youth worker, and camp director. She loves horses, the backcountry, and challenging young people to be all that they can be. And this summer, she's going to serve as the summer director at the ranch and also direct the senior girls camp and all of senior horsemanship. So hello, Jenny. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
So explain to us exactly where you're located and where the camp is located.
Great. Well, we are in Alberta, and we are in central Alberta by a small town named Rocky Mountain House, which is about 1 hour west of Red Deer, which is kind of one of the main cities in Alberta. And we are on a lake called Crimson Lake. That's one of our locations. We actually have two sites in Alberta. One is located outside of a small town called Sundry, but the one that I work at, Pioneer Ranch, is located outside of Rocky Mountain House on a little lake called Crimson Lake.
So I went to Red Deer and I was there for a horse conference, and I found out very quickly that scarves are not just a luxury item to make you look better. They're to save your life when it's really cold so that the snot doesn't drip all around.
I don't know. I'm looking at the pictures on pioneercamp.ab.ca and everybody's swimming, having a good time. You just must be a wimp, Christy.
I think I am.
It does depend on the season, I got to say. Like right now it's April and we're in a snowstorm. So, I wore a scarf today to work, I got to say, and my Carhartt coat and, the whole shebang. But during the summer, we do have some fun. So it does depend on the season for sure.
So explain to me about this Pioneer tradition and how long it's been going on, and explain how long this whole program has been going on.
Well, great question. Actually, we started in 1929 in Ontario. Our site in Alberta started in 1951. So we are actually owned and operated by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. So InterVarsity operates 9 camps across Canada, including Pioneer Camps and Circle Square Ranches. And the Alberta site in particular started, as many things in Canada do, by a bunch of people from Ontario who wanted to be cowboys. So they actually headed out west. And they found some land, and it's kind of a funny story. They came out, they were city folk, and they came out in the winter, and they saw this beautiful open plain and thought, oh, we could do a ranch camp here. And they were, again, city folk. So little did they know that they were looking at a massive swamp. So they started to put up some buildings, and spring came, and their buildings were all in the swamp. So they had to move them all and kind of reset up the camp. And every spring in the middle of the one road we have, there's a post that comes out of the ground about 2 inches in the thaw, and it's from one of the old pole sheds that was built right in the middle of the swamp.
That was probably not so good. I'm glad that they ended up not having enough money to be able to rebuild. Oh, but 1929. Oh my gosh, Jenny, that's a really long time. So what are all the
that's
different...
how long we've been in Canada. So
yeah, I think that's amazing. So, you know, we obviously cite accredit through Certified Horsemanship Association. Are there other groups up in Canada that do that as well for camps to make sure that they're safe?
For sure. Yeah. So one of the biggest ones, each province has a camping association. So in Alberta here, we have the Alberta Camping Association. And that's an important one. They inspect you at least annually. You have to send in kind of all your documents that prove that you're doing what the standards are, as well as every 2 years or 3 years, they come out and they do a physical on-site inspection, and they make sure everything from your first aid kits to the training of your staff to the information you're gathering from students and from campers and parents, they do a really thorough job of keeping the camp accredited. So Alberta Camping Association is one accreditation body for us for sure. We're also a member of the Christian Camping International Association. So if you're looking for a camp that has a spiritual bend to it, then Christian Camping as well is another resource for you. So the big ones for sure for us is Alberta Camping Association.
Very good. So, you know, we were talking earlier about a lot of times now when people want something, they quote unquote Google it, and that might not be the best to find things. So what do you think parents should do while they're choosing a camp for their children? What should their research include?
For sure, I would definitely recommend that they include what their child's interests are. So, for example, if you have a kid that is super interested in horses, then you want to look at some sort of a horse camp. If you have a kid that is really interested in mountain biking, you want to look at a camp that has mountain biking. I think what your kid is interested in, for sure. I mean, for many of us who grew up camping, we learned to go beyond what we were initially interested in. But I think you have to have a hook for kids, something that they can get excited about. I would look for a camp that has testimonials of other parents on there. We have probably literally 80% of our campers come by word of mouth from other kids telling them. So look for testimonials. And I would say a camp that you feel comfortable with in terms of communication. So if you get a good feel from the camp when you first do inquiries of them, do they have lots of pictures? Do they have lots of information on their website? Can they tell you a lot? Can you actually talk to the people who are going to be directing the camp? If there's a lot of transparency of what's happening, I mean, I would say even is their website easy to manage, right? Can they navigate the website well and get the information they need? If you're struggling to get information from a camp, for me, that would be a flag. And then again, what your kid is interested in. So to be aware of it and to know your child for sure. Because, you know, one of our programs has an integrated out trip where for 5 days, the kids go out and they either horseback ride or canoe or backpack in the backcountry. And if you have a kid who camping is going to be, you know, the death for them, don't send them to that program. You know, look at a different program. So the more information you can gather, the better. And I would say, be honest, us being a Christian camp, we've had kids show up and not know that we're a Christian camp, and parents kind of send them hoping we'll straighten them up a bit. And that's hard on a kid. So I would say for sure to be honest and make sure your kid knows what they can expect is the best way to prepare them.
So is this camp the 1 week a year when most of these kids are away from their video games?
Yes. For sure. We are lucky that we are located rurally and they don't have a lot of service.
There you
go.
Bring
their cell phones out here.
There you go.
But yeah, for a lot of these kids, 90% of our kids are city kids who come out and they ride at camp only and they camp at camp only. And they, you know, some of them come, especially the girls I find are a little like, you guys are covered in mud and I don't have my makeup on. And are you kidding me? And then by the end of the week, they're like, wow, this is awesome. And they get right into it. So it's definitely a chance for kids to play and to be kids and just get dirty again. I feel like our urbanized culture has gotten away from that just outdoors love playing. And so yeah, a lot of us, we all carry cell phones for emergencies, but half the time they don't get service anyway. So it's brilliant.
It is brilliant. I agree. Having two young boys myself who love those things too much, and we have rules in the house about when they can and cannot use them. And so, yes, I completely agree. So what are some particular programs that Pioneer Ranch has?
Well, we're unique in a couple of regards in Alberta for camping. One of them is that we actually still offer a program for just girls and just boys. So starting at age 9, you can send your kid to a junior girls camp or a junior boys camp. And then we also run a senior girls and a senior boys camp, which is for age 12 to 17. And that's at the site that I direct. But most camps have gone to co-ed in Alberta. I'm not sure if it's the same trend for you guys down in the States, but a lot of them have gone away from the co-ed. They definitely are a harder sell, but personally, I would say a richer experience once you get there. So that's one of the unique things that we do here is just that you can come for 2 weeks, just girls, and have just mostly female staff, and really learn what it means to be a woman, and really learn what it means to be a man with all ages of staff that come around and volunteer for you. The other thing that I think that we do is a little unique is integrated out trips. So all of our camps will spend time in the backcountry. Now, for our 1 week camps with our little kids, that may look like a really cool nature walk where they actually go on a big hayride and they get to go out and play in the woods and, you know, learn a little bit about what it takes to light a fire or that kind of thing. At our senior camps, the kids actually will pick a skill, either backpacking, canoeing, or horseback riding. They'll learn that skill on site for 5 days. So they have to be ready to, you know, saddle their own horse, catch their own horse, tie it to a tree, probably catch it first, but catch the horse, saddle the horse, tie it to a tree properly, take care of it in the backcountry, feed, you know, water at streams, all that kind of stuff. And then they actually camp out with their horse for 5 days in the middle of camp. And then they come back to on site and have a chance to try some of the other skills and also share the adventures that they've had on their 5 day out trip. So majority of camps have gone to standalone out tripping programs where the kids may come into site for 1 day, pack their stuff, and then go for an out trip. But that we still offer integrated out trips where they can be on site and on an out trip in the backcountry and then come back to camp as well.
And talk about in the backcountry, definitely not having any of their electronics. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you were having parents, let's say, want to come for a site visit, what would you recommend when they come? What is there a way for them to watch some programming in action? What would you recommend for them to do?
That's a great question, Christy. You know, we offer open houses, especially at our Sundry location, which is our younger kids. So our Sundry location, Pioneer Lodge, runs our kids age 9 to 12. The site that I direct runs 12 to 17. And we used to do massive open houses and invite all the parents. And I've actually just found that by the time kids are 12 to 17, parents are like, oh, yeah, sure, I trust you. Or a lot of parents, because we've been in operation for so many years, this will be our 66th summer running at the Rocky Mountain House Pioneer Ranch location. We're on second and third generation parents, you know, and kids who are bringing their kids. They're like, oh, yeah, I was there in, you know, 65, and I remember this, and is my cabin still there? And well, we hope in, you know, the last 40 years it's changed a little bit. But yeah, so we definitely have had people call and say, I want to see where my kid is. The first day and the last day of camp, a lot of parents drop off their kids just so that they can come and meet the director and meet their cabin leader and meet the staff and see the physical location and, you know, walk around and sit and look at the lake and do that. So yeah, so I would say for sure, contact us in any capacity. We'd be more than happy. We actually have quite a few people who come in who fly in from the States as well. I understand that camps down there for you guys are a little more expensive. We have about 6 girls who come from Florida every year, actually, for our senior girls camp. And it's cheaper for them to fly from Florida to Calgary and come to camp than it is to go to a horse camp down in Florida. So that's kind of a unique thing. And we offer an airport pickup and bring them out to camp.
Well, and the other thing is, we live in Florida. You have hills and mountains. We kind of are missing those down here. So you have terrain.
I hear that.
Plus, I was looking at your rates. And, you know, we're talking very... I was shocked how affordable they were, actually.
Yeah, you know, we boil it down to about $86 to a 24-hour period. And that includes all of your food, all of your programming, all of your everything, right? And so when you look at a camp, people up here will look at it and be like, whoa, $1,200 for 2 weeks. But when you break it down to $86 for a 24-hour period, that's, you know, next to nothing when you consider everything you get to partake in.
So we have some people right now today, Jenny, that are listening that are in the camping industry already. So I'm sure they're going to want to hear things like, how do you advertise and market to be able to get your folks out there? I know now it's probably a lot of networking because you've been around so long. But what are some of your ideas in that regards?
Yeah, I think booths, we go to a lot of conferences, you know, teachers' conventions and different conferences around and set up booths and try to get the word out there. Word of mouth is huge, of course, in the networking thing. We do have a website. It's just www.pioneercamp.ab.ca. So pioneercamp.alberta.ca. We're on Facebook. Alberta Pioneer Camps is on Facebook. We have a Twitter account. We have, what else do we have? We have blogs, you know, just kind of anything that we can get going to get the word out there and see what's happening. Google. I mean, if you Google Horse Camps Alberta, we tend to be one of the top ones that comes up. So that's always works good for us. But yeah, any of those avenues, you can check us out and see kind of some pictures and a little bit what we're about and get a sense of what we're doing here.
So because you've been around so long, I have a question for you. Do you ever have campers that, let's say, 10, 20, 30 years later contact you and say, it had such an impact on my life that now blah, blah, blah? Do you have any specific examples of that?
Christy, I have examples daily. Actually, there's a girl who I'm still in touch with. And when she came she was probably 14 when she came. She was a little mouse of a girl, like quiet as could be. She cried pretty much every night. And wanted to go home, and she had to call her mom almost every night. And since then, she's actually become working in radio. You know, she became a promotions director at a radio station. Coming to camp, she grew up around horses, so when she came to camp, she chose to try canoeing. And the night before she left for her out trip, she was bawling to me and just saying, "Jenny, I can't do it. I can't do it. This is going to kill me." And you know, when he gave the pep talk of like, "What an adventure! You can do it. It's okay. I believe in you." And this girl absolutely blossomed. I mean, she's 22 now. So that's, you know, 6 years, 8 years later. And she was able to go promotions. She ran for Miss Rodeo Canada, and she didn't win, but she did run for it. And she was able to do all these big things. It just grew so much through overcoming adventures. I mean, I don't take credit for that alone, but sorry, overcoming challenges and living adventure. She was able to just blossom and gain so much confidence. And we focus a lot on leadership development and saying to kids, you know, you can do these things. You can challenge. And we have our little, you know, 8-year-olds who come for the first time and they stand beside these horses and look up at them and think, oh my word, what is this? And to the end of the week, being able to ride a loop around and show their parents, this was my horse. And they buy postcards of their horse pictures. And just to overcome challenges at that age is such an incredible adventure for them. And to see what they can do. I mean, I think all of us think less of ourselves than we ought to. We can do far more than we think with the right perseverance and the right push and the right people who surround us and believe in us to push us through that. So, I mean, I have countless stories of kids who have gone on to do things. The premier of Saskatchewan, for example, was a former Pioneer camper, and he talks a lot about the impact that Pioneer Saskatchewan, which is no longer functioning, but when it was, that made on him, and he's become premier of Saskatchewan. So, I mean, there literally are countless stories in the 66 years that we've been running of people who've been affected through Pioneer.
Okay, so I have the most important question of the day. How is the food?
Well, you know, food is everything. I got
right, say. Especially for teenage boys. They eat a lot. They eat a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what's funny about that? Is that our cook actually says that our senior girls camp, which is age 12 to 17 girls, and our senior boys camp, which is 12 to 17 boys, eat the same amount.
Oh wow!
It shocked me, but they cook the same amount, and sometimes the girls are actually asking for more seconds than the boys. Huh. So I was quite shocked when she started keeping track of that. But yes, so the food is important, and we have awesome cooks at both sites, and our food services managers work hard to get food that is both healthy, because the kids, I mean, they're active. A lot of these kids are sitting around and they come to camp, and what do you mean I have to walk that far? I mean, we're not in one lodge location. We have cabins spread out around the lake, and you're doing a lot of walking. I mean, I wear a little Fitbit, and I tell you, it's easy to get 10,000 steps at camp. I'm working hard to get it when I'm at home during the year, but in the summer, we're running around like crazy, and it's the food keeps us going, that's for sure.
This makes me want to go to camp. Are you ready,
You're
Christy?
You have the adult programming?
Yeah, can Christy and I come
adult
to camp?
Camps.
Yeah.
That's right. We do. Co-ed adult
We'd
camp.
Love to have you guys come.
We're
you know what?
Go
you're horse lovers. I would take you any time to come help me run the barns. No problem.
No, I don't want to shovel stalls. We just want to come have the fun part.
And the food.
And the food, right, exactly. And the
sure,
you know,
sure we can arrange something for you guys.
And you know, doing the deep woods things in Alberta sounds fun too. I mean, geez.
Well, I am a little biased, but I gotta say it's been some of the best times of my life to just take kids out into the backcountry and see them transform, but also just to ride up mountains, and it's just it's incredible. I mean, I'm honored every day for the job and the work that I do.
Well, and what amazes me, if you think about it, it's 1 week of your life sometimes for these kids. And yet that 1 week does change their lives. We were having a conversation earlier in the day about how I went to a Girl Scout camp and I rode a horse once and it was done. I was done. That's what I do now for a mm-hmm. living. Right. So, I mean, these mm-hmm. things that happen to us, it's pretty amazing. Like that young lady that you talked about, it transformed basically her personality style and transformed, you know, how she felt about herself. And so pretty powerful stuff can happen at 1 week at camp. Pretty crazy.
Oh, I fully agree. I mean, I was introduced, I grew up in you know, city of Calgary. I didn't grow up around horses at all. And I went to camp and fell in love with it. And now my husband and I, you know, about 8-10 years ago, intentionally moved out of the city. And I now, you know, raise and breed purebred Canadians. But my love of horses personally, and the fact that I'm teaching my kids to ride every day, and all the things that I do with my life are directly results of being involved with camp and the confidence it gave me, and just the exposure to things that I wouldn't have gotten were incredible. So yeah, same story for me. I mean, I rode a horse at camp and game over. Now my husband and I have more than he would like that I have, but I keep going with it.
Well, that's super, Jenny. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. One more time, go ahead and let people know where they can find out more about you and Pioneer.
Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. So it's Alberta Pioneer Camp, www.pioneercamp.ab.ca. You can find us on Facebook, Alberta Pioneer Camp. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you and love to have as many of you come up for camp as we can.
Thank you, Jenny. You have a good summer.
Thanks, you guys. Take care.
Jenny.
You
too. Well, there we go. We're going to go do our next show from camp.
I think so. I think we need to have a live one from camp. And today was like the Jenny show, and then it was also the All Around the World show. We were in three different countries today. Just saying, that's cool.
I did notice that there was a plethora of Jennies on the show today. Yes.
Yes, there was.
Yes. We had three Jennies, if we include ours.
That's right.
But
that's
I got to say that her grandmother is the only one that could get away with calling my Jennifer Jenny.
She does not want that. No, I understand. No.
Yeah, the grandmother was the only one that got away with that. I made that mistake once early on. I never made it again.
No, you were told that's not right, husband.
That's right. I never made that again. Well, CHA, where can people find the schedule for what's coming up? Also, how can they get involved if they want to become a member, and a little bit more about the annual conference?
Yes, this is our busiest time of year for clinics. Oh my goodness. They're starting the end of this month and going all the way till the middle of June. Like we have, I don't even know, like 100 of them on there. So go check them out. It's chainstructors.com. Go to the clinics tab and you can see either by location or by date. And they're in every province in Canada and most states in the union. So you can find a clinic near you if you want to get certified, or even go audit for a day, see what it's about. Even if you don't want to be an instructor, you can learn a lot about where you're at in your riding, and maybe give your own instructor some tips if you want to go that route. So lots of things there. And then our international conference is for everybody. You don't have to be an instructor. You get to ride great school horses. This year, they're being provided by Midway College in Kentucky, of course, in Lexington. Yep, they're going to do all the providing of the school horses. So we'll have to have them on the show when you guys are doing the live show to talk about their program, because that's very nice of them to let us borrow their animals and staff for the few days that we do the horse programming. So at chainstructors.com, and then you just go to the conference tab and you'll find out more. The full schedule and registration form will be up by the end of the month. So that's coming up quickly. And of course, there's all of our manuals, YouTube videos, DVDs, all the links to our past radio show here on Horses in the Morning and other things under our education tab. So come visit.
And I wanted to mention, any of your members who are going to be at Rolex, we're doing a meetup for Horse Radio Network listeners in Midway. We're going to be doing it Friday night at the Grey Goose Restaurant right on Main Street in Midway. And by the way, Midway's Main Street's about a block long, so you'll be able to find it. And we have a back room reserved there at 7:30 on Friday night of Rolex, which is that next week, Jennifer? Yes, it's a week from Friday. Wow. So we'll be in Lexington for that. And then we always meet, we always have a listener meetup on Cross Country Day, Saturday morning, a half an hour before the first ride at jump number one. And then we kind of walk the course together for a little bit. And then in the afternoon, we get together at 2 o'clock at the Horse Nation and Eventing Nation tent, the tailgate they have. And we do a trivia contest and hand away a whole bunch of prizes. So that's what we have planned for Rolex this year for anybody coming in. So that
super
should be
fun.
A lot of fun. Well, thank you, Christy, for joining us again and for doing this for so many years. We really appreciate that. You can find links to today's guests and show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can go to horsesinthemorning.com and just put in CHA or Certified Horsemanship in the search, and it'll bring up all the past episodes. You can go back and listen to all of them, which is probably close to 40 or 45 by now. So you can listen to all the past episodes at once. You can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And the best way to listen to our shows, live or recorded, is on our own app. The Horse Radio Network has an app. Just go to iPhone or Android App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. It's free. It's easy. It's the simplest way to listen to our shows. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Christy. We'll see you again next month.
Sounds great. Have a good day.